Thank you so much. What a great message and song. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, picking up where we've left off in our study through the book of Ephesians. Last time we looked at Ephesians 6, we were in verse 10 and 11, talking about, and then verse 12, wrestling not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and our enemy Satan and this world system under his control. And the Bible tells us some good news. And if you're jotting down some notes, I encourage you to jot down this thought: seven essentials for every Christian. Now, as we look, please, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Wherefore, the word wherefore, anytime you see that, make sure you know what it's there for. Wherefore or therefore. And so it's because of the enemy, because of the attack, because of Satan himself. And the Bible says the whole armor of God. Now, you understand, as a student of the Scripture, you understand that when the Apostle Paul was penning this, when he was writing down Scripture and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you understand that he was probably chained to a Roman guard. And there are some things, probably, that the Holy Spirit just gave object lessons. Object lessons are a marvelous thing, a comparison, an illustration of things. But I'll be honest with you, heretofore, up until recently, I've heard a lot of great messages on the armor of God. But I tended to focus myself on the armor, on the substance, on the shield, on the breastplate, on the, you know, and whatever. And in asking God, "Lord, what would you have us to know about?" You know, it doesn't really matter what it's made of or pictured by or whatever. This is the armor of God. This is a spiritual armor. Something new, something we don't have in and of ourselves. And so I want to call that to your attention, that we're not going to make much of the metal. And I've even had, you know, one time I had a police officer bring in the different things that they have, you know, bulletproof vest, just as a comparison, and a helmet, and so on and so forth. But I believe that if we look into God's Word here, I believe that God will give us some things that it's been a help to me, it's been a blessing to me, and I trust that God will speak to our hearts here. And before we jump in, I want you to notice something. The Bible says in verse 13 that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Notice the Bible says in verse 12, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And verse 14, again, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth." We tend to think that a lot of times that we're strapping all this on for warfare, to go and to conquer. Now, we're to go with, we're going to find the gospel of peace, with the gospel of peace. But the Bible puts a strong emphasis upon standing and withstanding in the evil day. In the evil day. What is the evil day? A lot of times we look at things that happen in people's lives, and we seem to say we want to try to blame Satan for everything, when a lot of times it's sometimes our own doings, sometimes it is circumstances, sometimes it's just the natural curse of this world that we're in, and things terribly and tragically happen, and they go wrong. But then there are times that your family is attacked by Satan. It comes at that the crosshairs are put upon you, like happened to a man named Job. That was an evil day. The Bible refers to the evil day in I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. "Remember now thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Before those evil days, before you're targeted and by Satan, and before God is using you in a great way, and where you become present on as a blip on Satan's radar screen. Now, we are to respect the authority that God has put into this world. And I fear God, and we're to fear no one else but God. We don't need to fear Satan, but we respect the authority that God has allowed him to have. Jude talks about that. And he dares not, Michael the archangel, dares not bring railing accusation against Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And so we know that there's a way for us to be successful as a Christian, and there are seven essentials that he's placed in our hands here. And let's look at them together, please. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, it's not about the girdle, okay? It's not about the girdle. Yes, I understand the girdle kind of was something that they could take their robe and pull it up and gird up their loins, so to speak, so that they could not have the big flowing robe in their way and in battle and all of that kind of thing. I understand that the girdle held was a place to hold the weaponry and that kind of thing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time about that. I want to talk about what God mentions in His Word, your loins. Your loins. What is being covered by the girdle? Our loins. And what happens in the loins? Food is digested in our loins. We have our stomach. We have all those vital organs and kidney and liver and all of that. And we have our intestines. And we find that when we eat things, that our body is fueled by what we take in. And the Bible says that we should, in our loins, we should have truth. And so God is not telling us to look on the outward appearance of the girdle. He's looking further and looking deeper into what energizes us. Do you realize that in rat poison, that it's over 99% good food and less than 1% poison? Less than 1%. Truth. My wife and I were we were traveling, and this is quite a few years ago, and we were in an airport, and we walked by a little vendor there at the airport, and it was one of these places like TCBY. Anybody remember TCBY? And my wife said, "Oh, I'd love to have some frozen yogurt." I said, "Okay, well, we've got time, sure." Remember this? Oh, yeah. And so got her a little cup of frozen yogurt, and she said, "Hey, this is so good. You want some?" I said, "No, that's okay. Go ahead." You know, I didn't get her a great big, you know, about medium size, you know, and plenty for her. And they filled it up really. She finished it off. And that night, it finished her off. For 2.5 days, she laid on my sister's sofa with food poisoning. Now, most of that was just dandy. It was just wonderful. But somehow, some way, I don't know what it is. They tell me that if you don't clean the machine and everything, that some terrible things can happen. And she had food poisoning. And anybody in here ever had food poisoning? Oh, yeah. God says, let your loins be girt about with truth. The truth of God's Word. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Pilate, just hours after that, he looked at Jesus Christ, and he said, "What is truth?" And he was looking at him. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. If you're jotting some things down, I encourage you to, I told you seven essentials. Number one, stay with truth. Stay with truth. Very simple, very straightforward. Stay with truth. Number two, stay in tune. The Bible says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does a breastplate cover? Our heart. Our heart. We get a dagger in the heart, take an arrow to the heart, we're done. You know, it's over. And the breastplate, the songwriter said it so well. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul is saying that we need to watch our heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Seven essentials. Stay with truth and stay in tune. Stay in tune. There's a piano over here. It has 88 notes on it. 88 notes. We have instruments over here that play on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. And we strive to make sure that we're all in tune. Now, we can be in tune with ourselves, but there has to be some master tune. Here's the way to be in tune with your husband and in tune with your wife and in tune with your children and in tune at work and in tune. You just go down. Let's just try to make sure we're in tune with God. Okay? In tune with the Lord. The Bible tells us in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Just going verse by verse here. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I went outside and after the storm, I threw on some Crocs and went outside after the storm and started kind of trying to do some things. And pretty soon I realized I didn't have the right shoes. If you're going to be outside working, I've got some boots for that. If I'm going to go play softball, well, I got some tennis shoes for that. If I'm going to go to church, I've got some dress shoes to wear for that. And there are some things that, you know, you don't want to be shod with the wrong shoes. This thought I played softball on the church league for a few games, just a few. And they found better players, and I'm so glad. You know, they don't need me. They've got real players out there. Brother Herb, I was at the game when there was a third baseman, I think, that threw the ball across the infield and hit you square on the noggin. And knocked you down and kind of thing. Didn't even realize that that was that dangerous of a sport, you know. But if you put on big heavy work boots to go play softball, it's going to slow you down some. And so you have a plan, you have a purpose, you prepare for certain things. Some of you, if you have a big day tomorrow, you'll lay out certain things. You'll lay out certain clothes, certain socks, certain shoes. Because you have a task. If you're jotting things down, you have, number one, stay with truth. Number two, stay in tune. Our hearts right with God. And number three, stay on task. Stay on task. The preparation of the gospel of peace. When a Roman soldier was putting on his shoes, he was going to be ready for battle. If necessary, he was going to have to traverse very rough terrain. And he didn't want to go, you know, ow, ow, ooh, ooh, ooh. He wanted to be prepared. He wanted to be ready. He had a task. He had a responsibility. Stay on task. What is our task? Our task. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said that to everyone. He did not just say that to the 11 disciples there. He said that to everyone. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Stay on task. We can get so distracted, and there are many things that we can do as we give the gospel, as we give the truth of God's word. We can reach out in love, and we can try to say, yes, we do care, and we can reach out to those in Puerto Rico and those in Dominican Republic. But for the grace of God, they might be reaching out to us. Amen. So we can do many, many things, but if we get so misdirected to where we forget about our main task, our main purpose is to point people to Jesus Christ and use every door of opportunity we can to reach them. That's our preparation. You'll find in 1st and 2nd Kings, as God gives his summary about each of these kings of Israel, you'll find a statement over and over, such and such king prepared not his heart to seek after God. Or such and such king prepared his heart to seek after the Lord. And so it is something we do on purpose, something we do as our task. Stay on task. Stay with truth. Stay in tune. Stay on task. Number four, look please. The Bible says in verse number 16, and by the way, let me add this. The Lord showed this to me. Preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Our churches, because of history and because of the crusades that took place, under the banner of the cross and under the name of Christ, where people went and they wanted to convert the world, and it was convert or die. My friend, that was not of God. That was not of God. This is the gospel of peace. And nor is it to say convert to be a Muslim or lose your head. Folks, that kind of persecution has gone on for centuries. It's nothing new. It's nothing new for Christians. Nero tied people to stakes, poured oil over them, and lit them, and they burned in his garden as lamps. Terrible persecution all throughout history. It's not something that's new to our generation. We still have the gospel of peace. One day, the Prince of Peace will come, though, but he will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all. Above all. That's an interesting comment that's put in there. Now, if all this armor is so good, then why above all? The shield of faith. Faith in what? Faith in whom? What are we talking about here? Do you remember the little children's prayer? God is great. God is good. Thank you, God, for this food. You remember that? Remember that little children's prayer? There's some great truth in that. God is great. God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. He's the only wise God. And to have our faith in Him, to keep on trusting, keep on trusting, keep on believing. The Bible says taking the shield of faith. Taking. It is an ongoing present tense. Taking, and tomorrow taking it again, and the next day taking it again. Taking the shield of faith. This is a daily walk. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily fight. It's a daily journey. Every single day, there's great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Taking the shield of faith. God is great, but I'm telling you that God is also good. He loves you. He knows your every need. He knows our every failure. He knows our frailties. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts. Not just some of them. The fiery darts, the wiles of the devil, the trickery, the attacks. Now, we find in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus was having his first recorded evil day. In Matthew chapter 4, we find that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, the Bible says, I was just reading that this week, afterward, he was an hungered, the Bible says. And Satan came and he tempted him. And he tempted him much in the same way that he tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden. He tried to bring, listen, he tried to bring doubt. He said, if thou be the Son of God, if, you can see it each and every time. He didn't out and out, you know, just he just brought doubt. In Genesis chapter 3, he said the very same thing. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say this? He just wanted to bring doubt. He's slithery. He's smooth. And the shield of faith. Don't think for one moment. And you know, a lot of people think of a shield as being something kind of small. The Romans had a shield that they carried is about 4 feet tall. And if necessary, then if the arrows were coming too strong and in too much volume and things, they would plant that on the ground and they would get down behind it. And they would hide. And the Bible says, that quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the Bible says. Well, they would take and put leather and layers of leather on that shield so that when that flaming arrow would come, it would sink down into that shield and no oxygen, you know, it'd be a vacuum whenever stuck down into the, and out would go the fire. How does that happen spiritually? Sometimes when the attack gets so strong, sometimes when the temptations become so heavy, the trials become so many. Sometimes we've given scripture and scripture and scripture and scripture, and then we say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Lord, you're going to have to help me. I get behind you. I believe you. I'm not sure what's going on. The songwriter, he said, when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Trust his heart. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, just kind of a Bible study going through. I hope you're not expecting some flamboyant sermon. If you're jotting things down, just let me review. Stay with truth. Stay in tune. Stay on task. Keep on trusting. Keep on trusting. That's that shield of faith. Keep on trusting. Let's look, please, at verse 17. The Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, all through this, the Lord showed me that we're not looking at the outward thing. We're not examining the helmet. We're not examining the breastplate. We're examining what's beneath. We're examining what He is pointing out. Okay? So, what's beneath the helmet? Our brain. Our thoughts. Keep on thinking. Keep on thinking. Think on these things, the Bible says. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Keep on thinking on Him. keep on having an eternal view in mind. An eternal view in mind. We tend to look at today. We tend to look at tomorrow and sometimes even next week. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen, what's going to take place. But let me remind you of something. God's already in tomorrow. God's already in next month. God's already in eternity, future. Keep an eternal eye in view. Keep on thinking. How can you do that? Because you have salvation in your heart and mind. I don't know how much longer we have on earth before Jesus comes back. I don't know. We're setting up His kingdom. I don't know how His schedule and all that kind of thing. He tells us He's coming. I don't know how much longer I have to live and breathe and serve Him. I don't know. I don't know until He calls me home. I don't know. But until then, let's be reminded of one thing. Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Do you know that heaven is your home? Do you know that He died for you on Calvary's tree? Do you know that if the worst thing happens to you, the best thing that ever happens to you? Have the right thoughts in your mind, in your heart. Keep on thinking. Keep on trusting, but keep on thinking the right things. Tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. Let's read on. The Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Here's your word. Number six, keep on training. Keep on training. The Bible says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Keep on training. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. No doubt those soldiers, they trained. They had a sword on their side. And just because they became a soldier, just because they get inducted into the army, doesn't mean that training stops. Training is critical. It's pivotal. It's important. And so they would keep on studying and training, and be ready for warfare. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." Okay, before you press on too quickly. That word quick means alive. This is a spiritual book. The Bible is a living love letter to you and I. And it's miraculous how God can speak to us in ways that are not coincidence. Right from His Word. The Word of God is quick and is powerful. Let it loose. It'll do its job. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, the Bible says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What's that mean? Soul and spirit. I asked the Lord, Lord, what is that? Soul and spirit. Did you know that your dog has a soul? Your dog has a soul. That's why you can train your dog. I'm not so sure you can train a cat. I don't know. I've never seen anyone do that. But I see people train dogs. And you see, a dog has a soul. A soul is our mind, will, and emotions. You can tell when your dog's got the tail down between his legs. You know, nose is in trouble. You can tell when that dog's, you know, tail's just thumping and hitting the furniture and everything, happy. Mind, will, and emotions. Everybody has a soul. And that soul will live forever somewhere. And God's going to take that soul, that eternal soul, and He's going to give that soul an eternal body, and everyone will live somewhere forever, either in heaven or in hell. Soul. Piercing even dividing of soul and spirit. So, for us as Christians, understand something. As Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Spirit of God indwells believers. And so have you ever come to a decision and you said, "I can't tell for sure because I really, really want to do this. And I'm not sure, Lord, I'm not sure if I can discern if you're leading me to do something or if it's just me wanting to do it." You've been there, huh? Yeah. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the God can use His Word to divide between the soul and spirit, to divide between what I want and what God wants, and to make it clear. A step of faith. Now, be careful, be cautious. Don't try to pull something out of context. Don't keep looking and looking until you find something you can force into some kind of twist, you know, and to do what you want to, you know, and say, and to say that God said it in such and such thing. No, just be open and honest with the Lord and be mindful to Him and be surrendered to Him. And it'll be amazing how easily and how quickly God can lead you in His Word. Between soul and spirit, between what I want and what God wants. Between joint and marrow, the Bible says in the same verse. What in the world is joint and marrow? Well, we know today that in the marrow is where we get our life-giving new blood is created. It's the long-term effect. Bone marrow transplants have been used by the Lord, used by the medicine to save many people's lives. And I think of this, it just can't help but think. Sometimes we are looking for a quick fix. Sometimes we look for something that is in the short-sighted way. And when God wants us to look down the road, the marrow, the long term. And so when we are between a decision point in our life, the Word of God can be used not just to discern between what I want and what God wants, but also to show us that this is something that maybe is something right here, right now, that we can grasp and we can put our hands on, but God wants to give us something better later on. The long term. God's Word. His Word will not return void. And it is a weapon, by the way. It's the only spiritual weapon that we've been given. The only one. And it's and the Lord Jesus Christ used it perfectly in Matthew chapter 4. And He quoted Scripture against Satan. And by the way, that's the only thing that we can use against Satan. It is God's holy Word. It's not ours. 2 Corinthians 10:4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," meaning they're not fleshly, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You've got somebody that you're trying to see come to Christ, and their heart is hardened. Lovingly give them God's Word. Lovingly ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, what Scripture can I give to them?" It's amazing how the power of God can use His precious Word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you have this thus far? We're just about done. Stay with truth. Stay in tune. Stay on track. Keep on trusting. Keep on thinking. Keep on training. And last, keep on talking. Keep on talking to God. The Bible says in verse number 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:7, "Pray without ceasing." You ever had a nagging cough? Every time you start to say something, it just, you know, it just, maybe the hiccups, you know, a convulsive kind of thing. Pray without ceasing. It's just always part of your thoughts. Lord, what do you think about this? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We'll probably stop here. But I encourage you to pray in the Spirit. Lord, what should I ask for? Holy Spirit, you guide me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Praying in the Spirit. Romans 8 tells us that sometimes we don't even know exactly how to put our prayer into words. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. And he ends by saying this. And while you're praying for all saints, pray for me too. Pray for me too. That I'll have boldness, that I'll have utterance. Pray for me, the Apostle Paul said. Folks, if the Apostle Paul need prayer, boy, I'd need prayer so badly. We all do. That shield of faith, I'm told that they were trained all the way back to in the Greek army, in the Grecians, back in the days of Alexander the Great. It was actually his father, Alexander the Great's father, that kind of perfected this way of battle. As they were taking an overwhelming source, overwhelming enemy, and they were perhaps, you know, just over. Outgunned or whatever, you know, with arrows and spears and all that kind of thing, they would take those shields, those 4-foot shields, and they would plant them just soldier by soldier by soldier by soldier, side by side, and they would make sure that those shields almost that they touch. They would get down behind them, and this guy he would have his angled back just a little bit. And then the soldier behind him would take his shield, and he would take his shield, and he would hold his shield up. So now this shield came up to about here, and he would take his shield, and his shield is like this. And the guy behind him would do the very same thing. And so barrage after barrage of arrows and attacks would come. And as long as they held together, they were like a proverbial turtle. And they could not be hit. They could not be harmed. And what a beautiful picture of God's people uniting together in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. With perseverance for all saints. 7 essentials for every Christian. This helped me. I don't know if it helped you. I saw the armor of God in a different way than I've ever seen before. And I just trust it'd be a blessing to your heart as it was to mine. Let's stand for prayer. Good to see you tonight. Thank you for being here. And I do trust that you'll be in prayer for Sunday. And pray that God's protective hand on those that might help on Saturday morning. Thank you so much for that. And ladies, thank you for coming out on ladies' visitation today and the many visits that were made. That's wonderful. Thank you so very much. And the soldiers of the cross and feet to faith, preparation of the gospel of peace. Looking forward and a Tuesday night visitation, many opportunities to tell others about Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your precious word. I pray that you would take it, that you would bless your word. Lord, I know that you're not promised to bless my words. But Lord, we pray that your word will take root and grow and bring forth fruit and not return void, just as you said in your word. Lord, help us now to serve you and to love you as we should, to seek you first. And thank you so much for your goodness to us. Your grace truly is amazing. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks.